Chapter 26. The quiet of Kashyyyk is unsettling. Nothing is here. No life. No insects buzzing. No rustle of underbrush as creatures pick through sticks and leaves. In contrast, the jungles of Akiva are alive. Too alive. Nora remembers how the canyons of Akar were home to hooting Ateles and squawking clever birds and hissing bladder bugs. The cacophony of the rainforest was almost deafening, louder at night than it was in the day. This is not that. It's a dead channel, a null frequency. At least here, in this small section of the planet, the Empire has killed everything. And Nora sits, staring off into the silence, wishing for a moment that she had a little jaquad leaf chew. Muddle the black leaves and pink petals of the jaquad flower, then chew it to make yourself awake, alive, aware. An Akivan tradition. It would make her ribs feel better. It would make everything feel better. Right now, not far behind her, the rest of her crew is helping bring the rest of the captives out of the prison ship, preparing their egress from the planet's surface. Brenton, her husband, is with Temen. Last she left them, they were both on the halo looking over the pieces of bones who had been ultimately torn limb from limb. The droid is still functioning, but can't seem to speak. He can only broadcast garbled mechanical static blasts. She hears someone coming up behind her. A glance over her shoulder reveals Han Solo.
"Hey,"
he says. "You did it. You found him."
"We did it. You were right. I couldn't have done it without your help."
"You going soft on me?" she asks.
"No, but I'm in a good mood. Just go with it."
He comes up alongside and looks out with her. He's got that aw-shucks sheepishness about him suddenly. Hands in pockets. Wanting to say something, but not really able to say it out loud.
"So, thanks."
Nora doesn't have much to say in return, and talking only makes her two shattered ribs, now swaddled in a hasty wrapping of bonding tape, courtesy of the oh-so-compassionate Jazz Amari, feel like they're stabbing her. So instead, she just nods and keeps on staring out.
"That really your husband back there?"
"It is."
"Then we both have cause to celebrate."
"Absolutely." But he must detect the tremor in her voice.
"Why aren't you with him? You're out here instead."
"I wanted him to have time with my son."
"Sure, sure. Nothing more to it than that, huh?"
He's poking around, feeling her out.
"Nothing on your mind?"
"I failed Brenton. I found him here only by accident. It's been so long. Everything has changed. I've changed. Temen has changed. The whole galaxy has changed. But Brenton hasn't." "No," she lies. "Nothing." She feels like a failure. A traitor. And here, her mind flits to Wedge. And that only deepens her sense of treachery. It's not that she doesn't love Brenton. She does, and will. He is her husband, and the father of her child, and she can't face him. Not easily. Not now.
"I got a kid on the way,"
Solo says suddenly. Yes, I suspected. He kicks at a stick.
"I should be there. I should be there now. For Leia. For that kid. I got this thing hanging over me. This thing I gotta do. I'll never be all the way there, long as it isn't done. I'll never be me. I can't be a good father until..."
He curls his hand and presses a knuckle into the tree. Not a punch, but hard enough that the bones in his fingers crack and pop.
"I'm just saying, sometimes you have to do what you have to do."
"You're not leaving, are you?"
"Am I that transparent?"
"As clear and as tough as a sheet of blast glass."
"You take the Falcon. It's the fastest ship in the galaxy, and we got just shy of 100 prisoners who need medical attention. It'll be a tight fit, a real cattle car, but you'll manage. Plus, some of those prisoners are staying here with me and Chewie.
The refugees?
Yeah. And a couple other poor undesirables who got swept up by that Star Destroyer. See what kind of damage we can do.
Nora stares off into the dead forest. Looks like the Empire already did its damage.
It isn't all like this. Right now we're at the edge of the Shadowlands. Closer to the cities, that's where you find the camps, the mines, the labs. That's where you find the Empire.
You're going to liberate it all by yourself?
Or die trying.
Leia and your child? How will they feel about that?
He scratches at the back of his head.
I don't know. They'll hate me, probably. But maybe in time they'll get it. They'll see I had to do this.
Better come back alive, then.
Guess I'd better.
Nora grimaces as she reaches out with her hand.
Solo takes it, shakes it. It's been an honor,
she says.
Go be with your family. Take them home, Nora Wexley.
Thanks, Solo. Good luck here.
Luck has saved my tail before. Let's hope that trend holds.
Not long after, Nora gathers the whole crew. Everyone except Temin. He's with Brenton still, as it should be, and she doesn't want to give him this choice. The darkness here on Kashyyyk is lightening now, a gray, gauzy light from the sun in this system. Fingers of that light shine through the trees and the mist, and Nora steps into a beam of it and tells them all what's happening. She explains that Solo is staying behind.
A fool's crusade,
Sinjir mutters, then louder.
An idiot's parade.
I think some of you should stay with him,
Nora says.
I'll stay,
Jazz says with zero hesitation.
What?
Jom asks.
What?
Sinjir echoes. Jazz shrugs.
We took out Gedi, but we didn't free any of Slusson Kanker's slaves. That didn't sit right with me. We can do differently here.
This is a whole fragging planet,
Jom says.
We're gonna free it? Ourselves? We're good, Amari, but we're not that good.
Besides, Sinjir says, I don't think there'll be a payout for this.
I can usually wring a few credits out of any situation. And maybe this payout isn't about money. We helped free Akiva. That felt good. Sinjir, how did it feel almost sticking a sharpened antenna into a ram's ear?
Nora watches. The ex-Imperial starts to answer, but instead just looks down at his feet.
You shouldn't feel bad about it,
Jazz says.
You did a bad thing because you had to. Because sometimes you have to do bad in service of good. But once, just once, I want to do something really good. Good even though it's stupid. Good because it's right.
Sinjir makes a faux gagging sound.
Oh, yuck, Jazz. No.
Sinjir? Yes.
Fine,
he says, rolling his eyes.
Blah, blah, blah. I crave purpose and recompense for my crimes and etc., etc. I'll stay, too. Besides, this is an Imperial-governed planet. Maybe news of my treachery has not yet reached these forested coasts, and I can press that advantage.
You've all gone batty,
Jom says.
But then he sighs and throws up his hands.
But I've already gone off the map on this one. Might as well stick around a little while longer. See what kind of damage we can do here to the Imperial war machine. Soldier is as a soldier does and all that.
Nora nods and smiles. It's what she hoped would happen.
How about you?
Jazz asks Nora.
I'm taking my family and the captives, along with my injured self, home.
but I'll be thinking about you, and I'll see if I can send help.
Jazz nods and steps up to Nora.
Stay safe, Nora. Be good, Jazz. A little good, but not too good.
She says her goodbyes, too, with Sinjir and Jom. It hits her suddenly, the overwhelming feeling that she might not see these people again. Her darkest thought is also the loudest. Staying behind and trying to liberate Kashyyyk is a suicide mission.